Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people. All people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, Carpenter Shop. Let's stand and worship this morning. Let's get ready to worship.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You know soul.
Yes, I'm gonna praise the Lord. Oh, my
take heart in deserts and gardens.
He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father has. We believe you, Jesus. Your plans are good. The Lord is my shepherd, and he's everything I need. So I will not worry, I will not fear the enemy. He said that he loves me, he said that he's with me even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still I know. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart, heavens and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father. My Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? And why would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me? He quiets the waters, he quiets the storm inside of me. So what could be better than walking with him when I believe he has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take on deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father,
sister and I, y'all don't know that's my sister. Say hey to my sister, okay. We were having a conversation and we were talking about a specific situation and she was telling me, you know, see, sometimes you have to be in expectancy for the good things that God already promised you. She was telling me how, you know, a lot of times we have this tendency to lie to ourselves, thinking we're gonna tell God the truth. And if we're honest, we're telling both. We're wasting each other's time. And so there's some of us in this room who might not feel like the plans that the Lord have for us are good. There are some of us who feel like there are plans that the Lord has for us that don't even exist. But can I remind you of what the Bible says? The Bible says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord." Meaning this isn't coming just from a prophet. This isn't just coming from a biblical character. No, this is coming from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he knows the plans that he has for you. And here's the thing, he doesn't stop there. They're plans to prosper you, not plans to harm you, to give you hope and to give you a future. And I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I'd rather serve a God who knows the plans that he has for me. Not just he knows them, but knows that they're good, knows that he's giving me hope, knows that he's giving me a future. And this song is just a simple reminder of that. So take heart in whatever desert, whatever barren garden, whatever wilderness, whatever season this might be in your life that feels uncomfortable, that feels as though God has forgotten. I pray that this song resonates in your spirit this morning, that his plans really are good for you and about you. And here's the thing about the plans being good about you. That means that the good thing that comes from you drips down to the people connected to you. So since his plans are good for you, that means his plans are good for your bloodline. Since his plans are good for you, that means his plans are good for your coworkers. Since his plans are good for you, that means his plans good for your church family. Since his plans good for you, since it's good for you, since it's good for you, he might as well share the wealth. He might as well share the wealth. So everybody in this room who's praising on behalf of somebody else, know that the same God that has the same plan for you has the same plan for them. He has the same good plan, the same good purpose, the same good prosperity. In the name of Jesus, his plans, they're good. So that means even if the evil is happening right now, he's not done working. If the darkness is taking place right now, he's not done working, because his plans are good. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has goodness. Yeah. For me, if I know my Father, I know my Father has. He has goodness. He has goodness for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has. He has.
Father, I know my Father. Sing, he has.
Lord. Praise the Lord. He has good plans for me. Corey, you just ate my plan right up. God wanted y'all to hear it a lot today. But God does have good plans for you. And I just want to read that scripture again that Corey was quoting from Jeremiah 29:11. I want to kind of build on what he's already said, because you've got to realize the Israelites were in captivity. They were being held captive. They were 500 miles away from home. Now, that might not mean much to us who can hop on a plane, but for those that had to walk, 500 miles is a long way. In those days, it's tremendously long. And they had had everything taken from them. Everything. Can you imagine what the men felt like? The men who were supposed to provide and protect their families, who were stripped of manhood, who were used as slaves in bondage. In the physical, they could not see the good in the physical. In the physical, they only could see the bondage. In the physical, they only could see the work that they had to do, the beatings that they endured, the frustrations of being told and being held captive. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. But I want to read it from another translation as well. This is from the King James Version. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He has a plan. He has a plan. There's an expected end. You might feel like there's no end right now. You might feel like you gotta walk 500 miles. You might feel like your family, your home has been busted up and that you're lost right now, grabbing at straws to hold together some kind of form to your life. But no, God has an expected end for you. And it's good, it's not evil. Even through the struggles and the challenges you're going through, it's there. Does it mean that you're going to have good days every day? No. Does it mean life challenges is going to happen? Yes. But there is an expected end. I feel like today that we should just come forward. Those of you that have struggles and challenges, come to the altar right now as they sing it again. Our prayer team will be praying for you. Our staff will be praying for you. Let's just have a time of prayer here at the altar.
plans are good, God. Sing if I know my Father. You're worthy, Jesus. Your plans for us are good, Lord. If I know my Father,
if I know my Father, I know my Father.
We know our Father. We know our loving King. We know our loving Lord. If I know my Father,
if I know my Father, I know my Father.
We know who you are, God. We've seen what you can do over and over again, over and over. If I know my Father,
if I know my Father, I know my Father.
We've seen you do it over and over. We've seen you do it over and over. We've seen you do it. If I know my Father,
if I know my Father, I know my Father.
We've seen you move. We've seen your glory. We've seen you reign. We know you're holy. We've seen you. If I know my Father,
if I know my Father, I know my Father.
We know you can do it, Jesus. We know you can heal, Jesus. If I know my Father,
if I know my Father, I know my Father.
And we know you, we know you, we know you. You call us friend, God. You call us your friend. If I know,
I know my Father, I know my Father.
We're yours forever. Forever is a long time. But we belong to you. We belong. If I know,
if I know my Father, yes, I know my Father.
Your plans are good. You think so well of us. You think so kind. If I know my Father,
if I know my Father, I know my Father.
You call us royalty, Jesus. You call us chosen by you, God. And we know you. If I know my,
if I know my Father, I know my Father.
He has good plans. He has good plans for me, so I will take heart.
I will take heart and venture to God.
He has. He has.
He has.
For my family, you have. If I know my,
if I know my Father, I know my Father.
He has
good plans.
For my marriage,
he
you do, God.
For me.
My mother, for my father, for my sister,
father,
for my brother, for my child, my children,
he
you
has
have.
Good.
You have been blessed. For my future,
I know my Father, I know my Father.
He has
good plans.
For my body, you
he
do.
Has good.
For my mind, you do. For my heart, you do. For my soul, you do. You have good plans. You have good plans. And I know my Father. Your plans are good, Jesus. Your plans are good, Jesus. For you are great, God. You do miracles. And if I know my Father, you are great. So great. that nobody, sing, there is no one else like you. Sing, you are great.
And Father, we hold on to you. We place our feet in your faith, Father, in the faith of you, Lord, not ourselves. Father, we can't hold it together, but you can hold us together. Lord, we thank you that you do have a good plan for each individual. And Lord, as we serve you, as we grow closer to you, Father, sustain us. Sustain us, Father. Provide. Protect. Bring healing, Father. In Jesus' name, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus, because of who you are. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I just want to say, some of you out there may need to do something that my mother used to do. And it carries on through generations. My mom, it was nothing for me to get up in the morning, rushing to drive the school bus, yeah, and see scriptures written on the mirror, or magnet on the refrigerator, or on my steering wheel of the bus. My mom would write the promises of God down from the scriptures, different scriptures, and would tag them all over the house. I mean, she's even put them in our shoes. So, you know, some of you need to do that. Because sometimes in the morning when you get up, Brother Otis, we were talking about this, we feel frustrated. We feel like we need a surge of energy. So as you read those scriptures that you've posted all over the house, they will give you encouragement, they will give you strength, and they will remind you of the things that God has in store for you. I went to my daughter's house when she was going through a very difficult time, and I thought, I'm going to spiff up her house a little bit. The house is immaculate. Even though she has kids, she keeps it so clean. But she had bought one of those Cricut things. And she had in every room all sorts of scriptures that she had made hangings in her house, proclaiming the good things that God had for her, proclaiming the promises that God had stated to her all over her house, in every room, in the kids' rooms. And I complimented her. I said, oh, I love your hangings. She said, oh, no. They're not decorative hangings. They're pretty, but they're promises. They're scriptures of God's promises to me and my house. So that's why I say, go ahead and start it, because your children are going to take it too and do it. So good. We've got a few announcements for you today. I love when God just makes everything fall into place and just allows us to sit in his presence, to celebrate who he is and to celebrate what he's gonna do for our plan. But we have some things coming up this week and we don't want you to miss them. I know that everybody's wondering when the Easter egg hunt is set for. It is Saturday, March the 30th at 2:00 here at the church. Pastor Miranda could really use some individually wrapped candies, something that children will enjoy and that will be easy for them to pack into some Easter eggs. Also, Easter sunrise service is at 6:45 at Beechwood Country Club on the 31st. That's early, but I believe you can do it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's one of those annual things that you need to start doing every year. Breakfast tickets are available at the close of the service in the foyer. So see Nancy Shambly. Not sure how much they are. $10. You can't even go to McDonald's for $10 for breakfast. And I'm talking about, this is breakfast. It is nice. It is hot coffee. It is so nice. It is great food. Sausage and bacon and all sorts. I don't know what they'll surprise us with this year, but every year it always exceeds the next. So the last. Anyway, make sure you get your tickets. Make sure you plan to come. It's an event that you could even ask somebody in your neighborhood that never attends church and say, you know what? I've never done a sunrise service before. Or this is my annual thing. Get up early on Easter Sunday and go to a sunrise service. Won't you come with me? I'm going to buy you a breakfast ticket. So it's a great time. And then we have our Easter worship here on the 31st, right soon after the sunrise service at 10, as always. Make sure you bring your friends. Make sure you invite people. And also, Wednesday Word and Worship will be in the main sanctuary for the next 4 weeks. Pastor will be doing the Journey of Faith series. Youth and adults will meet at 7 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. So make sure you tag your phone or hit your calendar, whatever you do to get the messages to remind you of all the things that are happening upcoming. At this time, we're going to take up our offerings. Thank you, people, for building the kingdom. We love what Kingdom Builders does for the ministry, for the missions that are coming up and for the things that are needed so much. It's above and beyond what we normally give, but it's such an offering to the Lord that this time you can bring your tithes and offerings and place them in the buckets up front. Thank you.
Yeah. like, even though you know these words and you sing these words, like, everybody's got a different feeling for what they mean to them in their hearts individually. And he'll meet you there individually with those needs of each of us. It's all of our stories. Derek, Crystal, Fonda, Miss Margaret, everybody here struggling, Mr. Robert. Let's all just sing. Don't just sing these words, but let him hear the message that's resting on you today. Perfect submission. All is out.
Church, hallelujah. 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 Come on, worship him. Come on, stand to your feet and give Jesus a hand, would you? Come on, worship him all over this room. Father, we bless you. We bless you, Lord. Come on, let something come from your mouth today. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. Hallelujah. Never fail. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give the Lord praise one more time. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We thank you, God, for this hour of opportunity, Lord, that's ours today. We bless our online audience, those who are watching by TV or whatever nation they're in, God. We thank you for today, a day that you've made. We rejoice. We're glad in it, Lord. We thank you for the good things that you will speak into our hearts today. And God, when we leave this place today, may we be able to say 100% it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Come on, give him praise one more time.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Man, come on. You guys make my job so easy. 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 Come on, don't y'all forget my props you stole from me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There you go. Praise the Lord. See, if y'all had left my stuff alone, you wouldn't be going through this right now. Come on, tell them, church. Leave the pastor's stuff alone. All right? I'm here to stir something up today. Is that all right? Before we get into the word, let me stir. Oh, let's change that. Let's stir somebody some trouble up here this morning. Come on, help me out. There you go. There you go. Come on, guys. What you think about that? You say, Pastor, you went to all that trouble, no trouble, 5 minutes. You know what they did at Abby and Jeremy's church this morning? They had the wolf pack right out in front of the church this morning. 2,000 people celebrating at Focus Church. Shout out to Focus this morning, Raleigh, North Carolina. They had the mascot meeting the people when they came to church this morning. Getting rid of all those UNC feelings and all that stuff. Come on. Come on, help me out, bro. Help me out. We're rejoicing today. Today when you arrived, we can get back to business now, Dee. Sorry about that. Today when you arrived, come on, have y'all got a blue spoon this morning? There you go. I want you to keep that. You're going to need it, okay? You're going to need it. I want it to serve as a reminder for you because God's going to speak to our hearts today. He spoke to my heart this past week, and I just heard the Lord say, stir it up, stir it up. Whether you know it or not, it's already been stirred in your midst this morning. Come on. The presence of God. I love an altar where people will come and experience the moving of the Holy Spirit. Such a powerful experience. Without the presence of God on what you do, you're nothing. You're nothing. Without the presence of God, I don't care what you do. Whatever you do in the church, whatever you do in the ministry, without the presence of God, it'll be a challenge for you. Spoons are multi-purposed. As far as usage goes, you can scoop with them. You can feed with them. How many of you remember feeding your little one? How many of you bought that spoon? Now they make it easy for them. They put it in a bag and they suck that thing out like a roller coaster. Gone, man. What in the world y'all doing? Go back to a spoon. You can administer cough syrup. How many of y'all, come on, open up. This is good for you, right? It's done on a spoon. You can do like Pastor Joy. You can put a wooden one in your pocketbook to deal with the children on the church pews. Come on. She raised our kids on a wooden spoon, y'all. She did. She took a wooden spoon to church with her every Sunday, and I'd be in the middle of my preaching, go, wacka, 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 what in the world's going on here? But my kids respect the house of the Lord. They do, all right? So you can use a wooden spoon like Pastor Joy. But the one purpose that I'd like to highlight today is that of stirring. Come on, go ahead and put it in your hand like you're going to hear this today. You're going to remember it. Some of you might want to drill a hole in that thing, hang it on your sun visor or your rear view mirror or whatever. And you'll remember this day because God's going to speak to your heart. With a spoon, as you cook, when you prepare, you fold in the ingredients, you know. And then I know what y'all do. How many of y'all grew up licking the bowl like I did? Come on, y'all. Grandma, can I lick that spoon? Come on, Grandma, pass that thing to you. And then you get the bowl and you take that index finger. Come on, y'all. Go all the way. This is what we're talking about, okay? Because you cleaned it out. That's the work of the spoon. It's to stir. Let's look into the Word of God today, and I want you to listen for the word stir, okay? Turn with me in your Bibles or hit that YouVersion on your app or whatever way you're following to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The verses are 1 to 7. As we're turning there, let me just greet a couple of ministers that I see here today. Mike and Jan Futrell in the back. You guys stand, would you? From Lincolnton, North Carolina. Glad to have you guys. Praise the Lord. Daquan Sutherland right here on the front. Come on, stand up, man of God. Glad to have you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Gifted evangelist, prophetic ministry. I met him at a place that I was preaching somewhere earlier in the year, or maybe last year. I'm not remember exactly when the meeting was, but it was down in Chocowinity, North Carolina, and I met him there and connected with him, and he's here today. Amen. Just surprised us. He showed right on up and got on the front row up here laying hands on people and prophesying. That's good. Amen. That's good. Just thank you for your gifting. I follow you online, listen to you. And, you know, you're in an area of ministry that people are afraid of because they've been burned so many times by a bunch of crazy people. He specializes in the gifts of the Spirit, like prophecy, word of knowledge, and things like that. And a lot of people are scared of that. Some people are scared of it. Others are scared of it. Come on. But he's a gentleman in the Holy Spirit. I've watched him. And Father, I just pray you'd enlarge his gift right now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your mouthpiece. Thank you, Lord, for your mouthpiece. I pray, Lord, that you would grant wisdom unto him. Enlarge his territory. Enlarge his influence. In Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So while you should have your passage of scripture there now. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the verses are 1 to 7. Paul, let these words sink into you. This is a serious passage. All Bible passages are serious. But this is a serious word because this man who's writing this is on his last. If you knew you had 24 hours to live, what would you do? You wouldn't be talking about, well, I'm going to run by Bojangles, get me a three-wing dinner, and go home and watch some Netflix. That wouldn't happen. You got 24 hours left. What are you going to do? Paul is speaking to a man because he knows his end is near. I love that passage. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. Come on, y'all. I've kept the faith. Man, the Holy Spirit is in this room today. I fought a good fight. If you're doing any ministry, you're in the fight. I promise you, because the agenda of the Antichrist spirit in these days is to wear you out. Okay? Want to make you tired. Want to make you weary. So Paul has these words that he wants to share, and this is what he says. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I'm old school this morning. I'm in the New King James, if you're wondering. I'm like Pastor Joy this morning. I'm using it intentionally, though. According to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. Who's he writing to? Timothy. A beloved son. What he's saying is here, man, I nurtured you in the ministry. I've been like a mentor to you. I've been raising you up. He's a spiritual son. He says grace, mercy, peace, all the things you're going to need as you enter into the assignment God has for you in Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, I thank God, son, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you. But he's in jail, y'all. Being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy just thinking about you. Look at what he says in verse 5. When I recall to remembrance the genuine faith, here you go, that is in you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's in you. Come on, tell them. Prophesy. It's in you. Look at another neighbor on the other side and just say, hey, it's in you. It is. You say, well, that's for pastors. No, this is for every one of you. It's in you. Ministers need your help in these days. We need your help. This is not a sport that just the coach is involved. The team needs to get involved. He says it's in you. He says, it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded, here we go again, second time, is in you also. It's in you. Therefore, verse 6, I remind you, oh y'all, hold on now. I remind you, stir it up, is what he says. Stir up the gift of God, which is, third time, which is in you. Look at your neighbor and say, I told you so, okay. It's in you, it's in you. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift which is in you. And now this is another whole sermon. Pastor Michael, get this. This is another whole sermon, which came from where? From the laying on of my hands. That's another message, right? That's on impartation. That means that the anointing that is on my life can be on your life. That means that as I stand here today, I am I'm a summary of the people who have laid hands on me. Come on. Everybody that I sat under, hey, would you pray for me, man? Would you, you know, I want you to pray for me before I leave today because I want an increase in prophetic gifting. See, this gentleman's humble, y'all. He would never tell you what he does. He wouldn't. He would never tell you what he does. But I want you to pray for me before you leave today and for my wife, okay? There's an impartation that's available that Paul has said, listen, this is where it came from. I laid my hands on you, okay? And he says, I want you to do this. I want you to stir up this gift. It came to you from when I laid my hands on you. For God, verse 7, and see, the Holy Spirit knew full well what Timothy was going to experience and what every minister of the gospel is going to experience when you step out in faith and do the work of God. The enemy tries to distract you. The spirit of what? Fear. He says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. We get our word there translated in the English. Anybody know what it is? Phobia. Okay? Look, it's in there. If you start studying the Bible with more than just reading it off the page, you're going to learn a whole lot more because you need to find out what the original word was. For God has not given you a phobia, but he's given you power. What's the word there in the original language? Let's just preach a little bit right here. What is it? He's given you power. What's that? Dunamis. Let's just talk about it in Greek. What does that mean? Dynamics. But he said, look, you don't need to be afraid. Don't have some phobia because I've given you Holy Spirit what? Dynamics. They were flowing around this altar this morning. Dynamics of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I've given you love. What is that? It's either eros, it's either storge, it's phileo, or what? Agape. Come on, give yourselves a hand. But I've given you the dynamics, I've given you the agape, and I've given you a sound mind. What's that in the original language? This is another sermon, but I'm just drawing it back from times past. Discipline. The word is discipline. So Paul's telling Timothy, you don't need to be afraid, son, because you've not been given by God a phobia or any reason to be afraid, but you've been given the spiritual dynamics. You do so ministry in agape love, and I've given you all of the disciplines that you need to do well in the ministry. That's a powerful word there. I'm enjoying this, whether y'all care about it or not. I'm having a good time, okay? Sometimes we listen to passages like this, and we think about the divine potential that Paul is talking about that's been pronounced, that's been proclaimed in the life of someone like young Timothy. And we have the tendency to start making excuses. Oh, well, yeah, I guess so. He's a Bible character. Come on. Are y'all with me? I guess so. He's a Bible character. He's one of them that made the Bible. Because he had the good fortune to sit under the teachings of Paul the Apostle. The tutelage of the great apostle. He sat under him. We got folk running around today claiming to be apostles. They're not apostles. Apostle nothing. You ain't leading nothing. You just got a big sign with your name on it. Nobody comes to church. Come on, can I share some frustration with you for just a second? Prophet this, prophet that, apostle this, apostle that. What have you built? Show me something you've done. You don't need to, because your works will follow you. People will be able to see. You don't need to flag what you do in front of everybody, because they'll be able to see. You can be as flaky as a $3 bill and somebody will follow you, okay? Or how about this one? Well, yeah, those things are for ministry people, you know, pastors. No. This is for everybody. He says, well, I'm just a servant in the church. I'm just a volunteer. I serve on security, or I play the guitar, or I'm a photographer for the church. I'm back there in the dirty diaper department. I'm staying in the nursery a couple of Sundays a month. Can I just tell you, it takes an anointing to stay in the nursery? Come on. It does. Amen. Let me tell you something. John Maxwell was so right when he said, teamwork, T-E-A-M. He said, together, everybody accomplishes more. It's a team thing. We are here today. There's been so many people, and even right now as I'm speaking, there are so many people, so many volunteers, so many team players that are doing their specific ministry to make this effective. I thank God for you. I thank God, every one of you. You're doing work. You're volunteers. You're servants of the Lord. And you're doing the ministry, and you make Carpenter Shop International Church what it is, okay? And we appreciate you. People were commenting and complimenting after Thursday, Friday. They blew Facebook up, talking about that great concert, that great worship event. And it was just that. It was excellent. But when you look at the varied facets of what it took, I'm just the one who said, hey, can you come? But after they said yes and we signed a contract, then there's a whole lot of stuff that has to happen, okay? Requires a catering service, requires security, requires housekeeping, requires a setup and a teardown and technical giftings and sales and merchandise and photography and every... Are you seeing what I'm saying? It takes so much to make something happen and be effective. It even called for a Corey to be an MC in the beginning. But yet what you don't know is that from 8:30 in the morning until 11:30 almost the next morning, he was a certified Uber driver. Okay. And they were texting him like, hey, I go drop one off, and another one's texting me, hey, can you pick me up? And we had to run those people back and forth and do all kinds of things. And I left the church about midnight, and Corey was still giving rides. I'm telling you, it took work. So sometimes, I must give you this disclaimer. Sometimes we're gifted in some area, and Corey's gifted. He's a gifted singer. He's a gifted preacher. But yet sometimes God will ordain that you do something that you are way overqualified for. Come on. Way overqualified. God didn't call me to drive a vehicle to haul folk around. He did Thursday, okay? I'll give you a step further. He didn't call me to fix toilets either. But Thursday morning at 7 o'clock, I arrived here at the church, and the first thing I did was assess two toilets that had big signs in the ladies' room that said, out of order. Something ain't flushing, y'all. Something's not happening right. And my wife reminded me, don't forget those toilets. And so at first detail, Thursday morning, fix the toilets. Well, I'm the senior pastor, man. I ain't touching no toilet. No, yes, you are. If God ordains that today's your toilet day, you're going to do that, okay? All right? So listen, you can't be so, you know, and I know a lot of preachers, man, they would never. I know some preachers that got to have their beverage passed to them. Somebody got to carry your Bible and all that stuff. You're just like the Pharisees standing on the corner. You already got your reward. Get all the honor you want. Get it all you, because you ain't going to have a whole lot of honor in heaven. Jesus talked about people like that. I'll talk to you about it in a minute. Jesus said that there's a thing here. You don't ever get somebody to do as a leader what you haven't done already yourself, or you're not willing to do. I've done just about everything you can think of. When I came here, I mowed the grass at Carpenter Shop Church for about 2 years. I did. I mowed the grass. Pastor Joy and I jumped in with Sister Audrey, and we helped clean the church. We did it. Can you help us with the lawn? Well, I said, you know what? I don't believe God's called me here to do lawn care. but I don't mind helping. Okay? I like the story my Dr. Richardson told when I was in Bible college. He said that he had accepted a new pastorate. And he said when they got there, they said, now listen, now the former pastor always mowed the grass. Dr. Richardson said, well, you need to call him and see if he still wants to mow it. Okay? Because I'm not doing that, okay? Call him. Maybe he needs to be your pastor if he's such a great guy on lawn care. But what I'm saying to you, that's just catching up with some of y'all, okay? But what I'm saying to you is, listen, you got to be willing to be all things to all people. There are many times in a given week that I do things that are really not in the portfolio of a senior pastor. It's really not. But I'm willing to do them. I work. I don't have anybody looking over my shoulder. What's he doing? Well, he got an easy job. He's just preaching on Sunday. This is the easy part. What I'm doing right now, I love to do it, but this is the easy part. You don't know what my life's like from Sunday afternoon to the following Sunday. You have no idea. And Jesus talked about people who had an attitude with, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing that kind of thing. Because he said they don't practice what they preach. Jesus said that they would often tie up heavy loads and put them on the backs of other people to carry, but they themselves would not even lift a finger to do anything. He said that they didn't practice what they preach. He said everything they do is for other people to see. That's what I'm talking about. And they love the place of honor at the banquet. And they're thrilled. Oh, doctor. Come on. Oh, apostle. Oh, bishop. Come on, sit here. They love those titles. They love those titles. They loved it when people said, hey, rabbi. Okay. They loved it. But Jesus went on to tell them, Matthew 23, verse 11 and 12. Check this out. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves, the Lord said, I'll put you on the map. Okay? You need to humble yourself under the hand of God and let him do the exalting. Okay? Paul was a servant of Christ Jesus. Paul was a bondservant. That's another whole story. But Paul knew how to do something. Paul knew how to stir up the gift of God in his life. Paul knew what it was like to be a prisoner. I'm doing a lot of little bit of preach here this morning, but when you talk about Paul being in prison, we're not talking about a nice jail cell and a flat screen on the wall. No, when he was in the Philippi jail, friends, Paul was not on the normal level at the street level. Paul was down under. When Paul and Silas were placed in jail, they were placed down under the streets because the jail was fashioned this way. They put him in that solitary confinement because this is the place when the streets were cleaned. All of the cow dung, all of the animal poop, everything that was pushed all the way over there, down this little place where they could wash it down. And that's where the jail was underneath the street. Underneath. Paul's, what's that? Paul is in jail. And he's not in prison like some of our folk are today. Come out looking like you got a six pack and got plenty of muscles because, you know, you got to work out and you got... No. No, he was in jail. He was incarcerated, okay? He lost his rights. Pastor Joy talked about that early this morning. And Paul knew what it was like to be a prisoner. He was a great apostle, and he would be the one that would be the leading author writing 2/3 of the New Testament. It would be his letters, hear me. It would be his letters, it would be his writings, it would be his epistles that would reach the levels of canonicity in the New Testament church and be part of what we know as the Word of God. His writings were anointed. His writings were inspired. In this day and time, if Paul were alive, he would have the gift of God to send a brother a text and demons would flee off the brother as soon as he read it. I'm just telling you, this is the kind of anointing that Paul had. He was in touch with the Spirit of God. He would send a text message or an email and God would... You say, how could you say that? Because Paul could write a letter and a city would break out in revival. Come on, y'all. This is the Bible I'm talking about. Paul would write a letter and the word of God would come to pass. He knew how to stir up the gift of God inside of himself. One day Paul was preaching, and he must have gotten a little long-winded because a brother fell asleep from the third floor up above, fell out of the window, fell to the ground and died. Didn't stop Paul. He goes down the stairs, down to the bottom level, lays hands in the name of Jesus on this man. God raises him up. He takes the man back up to the third floor and continues to preach the gospel. Come on. Paul's anointed. Paul had stirred up the gift of God. Paul stirred up the gift of God inside of himself. Scripture tells us that one day the disciples were trying to cast out a demon, and they failed miserably. Demons start talking back to him. Paul, I know. Okay. Y'all read this, haven't you? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. What's your name? Okay. Who are you? Because you ain't got no authority over us. Paul was powerful. Demons tremble when Paul stepped into a room. He was a powerful man because he knew how to, here we go, stir up the gift of God inside of him. That's why everywhere that Paul went, they tried to shut Paul down. They said to Paul, we're going to kill you. Paul said, no worries. To die is gain. Okay, we're going to let you live. Well, to live is Christ. Okay, well, we're just going to make you suffer then. Paul said, listen, I'm not worried about the suffering because I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul was ready, man. He was ready. Paul said, you may think you're causing me to suffer, but when every lick you strike on me or everything you do against me, he said, it just causes me to stir up the gift of God inside of me. You can't really appreciate the text of 2 Timothy chapter 1 until you recognize, here we go, the context of the passage. Scholars are unanimous, 100%, in their statements that when Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, the second one, he's knowing that it will be the very last thing he will be able to say. He's in prison, no hope of getting out. He's going to have his head chopped off for preaching the gospel. So when you and I are reading this passage, what we're literally doing is we're eavesdropping. Hear me, church. We're eavesdropping on the psychology of a man who's about to die. How do you feel when you know you're going to die? What would you say if you know you're going to die? What would you do if you knew 24 hours from now you will not be here? Like I said, you ain't running down to Bohangles and getting a biscuit and a three-wing dinner and going home to watch Netflix. No, you'd be doing some serious things. You'd be getting some things in order because you got 24 hours to live. What would you do? So I find it intriguing that Paul spends his last hours, somebody say last hours of time trying to encourage Timothy. And what he says to him is, son, let me tell you something. Stir up the gift of God inside of you. One translation, like Pastor Joy mentioned this morning, King James, a little different here. Same thing in this passage. You're holding a translation, probably, because you're probably not holding the King James in your lap or even the New King James. You're probably reading an NIV, an NLT, an ESV, and one of those other translations, which are good. I follow them as well. I preach from the NIV more than any other translation that I use. Everywhere else it says what? It doesn't say stir up the gift. What does it say? Fan into flame. Thank you. Fan it into flame. You know how it is when the fire is about to go out. If you'll get your head down there at the bottom and just go, what will happen? Coals will fire back up. They're orange again. And you can get the fire going. Okay? That's what's happening here. Paul is telling Timothy, you do this. You fan it into flame. You fan into flame the gift of God. Interesting, the last things he says to him. Look at verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith, I love this, that's in you, first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. I love what you shared, Pastor Joy, about Abby's household. Everything in this service today is just supernaturally being knitted together. Lois, this faith, Timothy, started in your mama and your grandmother, Lois and Eunice. Pastor Joy talking about the scriptures on the wall. Can you just follow with me for a second and see Lois and Eunice just walking around, little Paul, little Timothy? In there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength." She breathed the word of God over Timothy. That's why Paul was able to say, "This thing's been in you a long time, son. It's not about what I did. I know you're looking at me as your mentor, but it's really not about what I did. It goes back farther than me." I give credit, I give honor to Lois and Eunice. He told Timothy the same thing that many of us need to hear today. One more time, it's in you. All of the ingredients, Pastor Joy, help me here. All of the ingredients that you need are right there inside of you. Well, if you could just find me a good church. You could be in the best church in the world and still be stuck in your ways. Well, I'm looking for a church. You got all the ingredients that you need. Verse 6, he says this, "Therefore I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." I love this analogy. Paul's inspired of the Holy Spirit. He says, stir it up. When you make a cake, you know what you have? You have ingredients. You have ingredients. You get ready to cook something. And you know how to do it. Some of you love. You know, last night we ate at home. I sat in my lazy boy. Joy said, "You want to eat at the table or the lazy boy?" Well, that's, you know the answer to that. Okay. See, I said, "Hey, it's nobody but me and her." I said, "Hey, let's just eat in the chairs." So she's fixing the other things on the inside. I'm on the outside cooking an inch and a quarter ribeye, two of them. Okay? They've been laying up there on the counter for hours with marinade all over them. Okay? She prepared them and we threw them things on the grill. Okay? It's a process, friends. It's a process. And she said this. She said, "You know something?" She said, "This is the best food that I have had in weeks." Now, what she's saying is, we live busy lives and we're tired of restaurants. Come on, y'all. I'm going to tell you, the best thing you can have is at your table, okay, that you prepared. So we prepared those steaks, and man, they were good. I hated to see the last bite go. I really did. I'm like looking on her plate. Maybe she's got some. No. She ate all of it. Spirit of Pac-Man came over her, man. She was boom, boom, and that steak was gone. You got all the ingredients. If you get ready, the best thing that you can do, though, I was going to say, is not go to Food Line. That's why we tell you every time we have an event, don't go to Food Line and buy these things. Listen, the best pastries you had this morning, somebody made them. The ones that were from Food Line or Walmart, they're the last ones to sell, because anybody can do that. Roll up your sleeves, grab a mix. There it is right there. They made it easy for you. She got a mix, and what it says here is two large eggs go in there. Two large eggs. It's got the ingredients listed right on the back. Two large eggs, 3 tablespoons of water. I'll never forget one time when we were teaching Abby to cook. Abby made a cake. Now, if you've done any Duncan Hines very much at all, you know that it calls for the smaller amount, 3 tablespoons of water, which she's doing right now, and 2/3 of a cup of vegetable oil. Abby got mixed up one time and she put a whole lot of oil in there. And when we sliced that cake that she made, I thought, this thing's coming out easy, bro. Slip, slip. I sent her a text message this morning. Mom and I were talking about you when you made that cake and put way too much oil in it. Easy slip, man. That cake didn't even rise. It was just all flattened down there. Abby, you had to really teach Abby. She called me one day from Rocky Mountain when she was living by herself. "Dad, you know that baked chicken you and Mama do?" She said, "How do you do that?" I said, "Abby, you don't even have to write this down." I said, "Are you ready?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Turn the oven on 350. Put the chicken in the pan. Put it in the oven." "Is that all?" I said, "Yeah, that's all." "Wow, it's so good. It's really not that hard." Abby was a piece of work, man, when I was teaching her how to cook now. But she can do it today, I promise you. But she was challenging. She's got the ingredients here. And you know what? If she left those ingredients sitting right there, can y'all see that? If she just left them in there and did nothing, you wouldn't enjoy. Come on, y'all. You wouldn't enjoy this. This is the finished product right here. I got these off the table this morning. Okay? I paid for them. Look, I did. In fact, I gave them twice what they were asking, okay? That ain't $20 right there. But if she didn't do anything, all of the ingredients are here. But she's got to do something, y'all. Here we go. Y'all feel the Holy Ghost on this now. Come on. She's got to do what? Stir it up. You got to stir it up. She's got to stir it up. She's got to make sure that she uses that spoon and she folds it all in. She folds it all in and she gets it all together and she gets it all mixed in really well and incorporated. That's the word they use on TikTok, you know, incorporated. See that? I got it all incorporated here. Okay. Look at that cross section. They show it to you on the camera. Come on, y'all. I got a couple of people that I watch all the time. Check out that cross section. Jake, what's his name? Jake Huffington or something. He says, that's where it's at. Come on, I love him. I love him. He's a good guy. But if she didn't do anything, if she didn't stir it up, then it would never be able to fulfill the purpose for which it was created. Look at that, y'all. Come on. It never would happen if you didn't put it in there and you didn't do the stirring process. And God is saying the same thing to you and I today. You're here. You're at Carpenter Shop International Church on this Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, all the ingredients you need for the way God designed you and the purpose that He has on your life, it's all where? Inside of me. Come on, tell yourself, it's in me. It's in me. I love to watch the people. You say, well, man, what do I do? What do I really do? I really am not sure what I should do. Well, my question for you is, what do you like to do? Okay? What would you do for free? The church never gives you a dime. Okay? You do it as a volunteer. And then thirdly, what are you passionate about? Because really, to answer the question on what really is my purpose, what should I do? God wants you doing things you love. Some of you will get up on early Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, and you're going to drive out there and you're going to eat the breakfast. And you're going to say, oh, this is such a nice place. My goodness, I've never been out here before. You don't have a clue what it's like to put together a sunrise service at Beachwood Country Club. All I do is show up and speak 5 to 7 minutes and sit down. Somebody else is carrying that vision, carrying that weight. Ms. Nancy Shamley does an incredible job, and her family gets all involved in it. They have poured their heart and soul into it, so people look forward to it. Not only that, they've got to take every golf cart they own and more so you can ride back there. See? You know what she's done? She's stirred up the gift because God put it on her heart. See? God put it on her heart. You need to follow your heart. What do you want to do? What do you like to do? And you say, hey, I say the same thing. $10? Are you serious? You can't get anything in the drive-thru at McDonald's in a bag for $10. And you're going to walk into a fine place and sit down and eat at the table for $10? Shame on you if you don't buy a ticket. Amen. Go out there and see what happens when somebody stirs up the gift of God. I look at guys like Biddy, man. What do you like to do? Biddy says, I like to cook. Okay? Biddy, during the concert day, he was here at 7 o'clock in the morning. He started the night before. That brother fixed 3 meals. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. No continental breakfast. No pastries, nothing like that. They had bacon, eggs. They had biscuits. They had cheese. They had orange juice. They had coffee. In fact, them boys ate so much bacon, he had to run back to the store and get some more bacon. Okay? Text me, Pastor, I'm on the way to the store, man. Them guys are eating some bacon. Okay? And then they had chicken on the grill. Not KFC. We didn't go buy 4 buckets of chicken. What do you do? I do what I'm passionate about. Okay? That's what matters. And then
When you do something like that, you look at the people that are involved. Jack Terry, Tom Raby. Somebody's got to empty the stage. Somebody's got to set it back up. Somebody's got to run these wires. Somebody's got to do all this stuff. Every time we have something, we tear it all to pieces for the tech team. All to pieces. You got to put it back together. Somebody does, not me. I don't know about that stuff. Okay? But somebody does it. Why? Because they love it. They're willing to do it if you never give me a dime. And listen, let me just tell you this too. When you get ready to do what you love for the kingdom of God, you look for every devil in hell to come against you. I promise you, he's going to try to discourage you. Why do you think, listen, I looked at the pictures last night that were posted on the concert. There is no one that would put the quality of pictures out there that you put out there yesterday for that concert. And I sat there and I thought, wow, can you imagine? She sat there, she photoshopped if she had to, she downloaded, she posted hours. Why do you do that? People say, oh, love pictures, Elaine, love you. Why do you do it? Because she loves it. Because she stirred up the gift of God. You say, where's Pastor Joy? She's cooking the brownies. Come on, give me a break. You think we're going to waste that? I said, what are you going to do with them? She said, I'm going to give them the cat. Okay. You do what you love. The ingredients for your life. You may be sitting here and say, Pastor, yeah, you know, you're a preacher. You have an apostolic anointing in your life. You work with pastors. You do all these other things. That's what you do. But what do I do? All I can tell you is what God's called you to do is in you. Okay? It's in you. You're the one that has to stir up the gift of God. It's already there. It's already there. It's inside of you. What happens when you start to stir up the gifts that God has placed in? Well, look at verse number 7. He said, listen, he tells them, listen, I want to tell you, man, God's not giving you the spirit of fear. What are we talking about the spirit of fear for? Because when you step forward and say, God is going to bless me, I'm going to do this thing again this year, I'm going to make it even better than it was last year, the enemy will fight you on every hand and try to discourage you and distract you so that you will not do it. Oh, no, we're not doing that anymore. Okay? Let me tell you, I go through this all the time, man. Let me just tell you, just a couple of days ago, maybe 3 days ago, the spirit of quit hit me. You may say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I was really, really tied up in ministry things. In fact, my phone, yesterday was Saturday. Saturday's my day, man. I bet you yesterday I had a dozen pastors call me yesterday. I looked at the phone. I said, God, man. Joy said, what's wrong? I said, it's one of those days. I said, but I can't not answer it. People are discouraged. People are struggling. People need help. People need encouragement. People need inspiration. I'm going to answer, hey, Pastor, what's up, man? Hey, man, you got a minute? Yeah, yeah, what's up? And the spirit of quit hit me this week. Like, man, why don't you, look, you're 63, bro. I'm talking to myself. You're 63, bro. Why don't you just kind of slide aside and just enjoy yourself? Oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. That sounds like a real good idea. And I said, Lord, he said, hush. Okay. I was just going to talk to you about it, okay? You know what I'm talking about, the spirit of quit? When you've been doing this, because why do you do it? Because you're passionate about it. I don't care what you do. You're passionate about it. You love it. You give of yourself. You serve. You work for the company. And that's why you do it, because it's inside of you. And then most of the time, the enemy will come to you and lay a spirit of quit on you. And you can't. You can't. Because it's in you. All the ingredients. God's not giving you the spirit of fear.
He's giving you the power. He's giving you the dynamics. He's giving you the agape love. He's giving you the disciplines to keep on going. That's why when you stir, every time you stir those the Spirit of God, the gifts inside of you, you stir past the fear. You stir past the rejection. You stir past the low self-esteem. You stir past the bad relationships. You stir past all of those other things. You stir past worry, and you move on to what God has for you. Why? Because it's in you. Stir it up. Stir it up. You know, listen, when you stand before God, you say, man, I have some good thoughts. When you stand before God, he's not going to say, well thought, good and faithful servant. You say, man, I had some dreams. You're not going to stand before the Lord and say, well dreamed. What does he say? Hey, there you go. I felt the Holy Ghost on that. Well done. Well done, why? Because you did it. You didn't let the enemy stop you. You didn't let that fear get a hold of you. You did it to the glory of God. Norman Cousins, a writer, said this. He said, the tragedy of life is not death, but what we let die inside of us while we lived. Come on, y'all. The tragedy of life is not death, but what we let die inside of us while we live. Les Brown, you probably don't know him. Let me help you. He's the husband of Gladys Knight. Come on, how many remember the Pips, y'all? Come on. Les said this. He said, the graveyard is the richest place on earth because it is here in the graveyard that you will find all of the hopes and all of the dreams that were never fulfilled, the books that were never written, the songs that were never sung, the inventions that were never shared, all because someone was too afraid. Here we go, spirit of fear, to take that first step to carry out their dreams. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, stir it up, man, stir it up. You got to flow in your gift. You got to flow in your gift. Where's my spoon? There it is. Man, when I ordered these the other day, I said, Lord, I need some spoons. I need some nice spoons. I don't want no clear ones. I don't want no white ones. I want some nice spoons. First thing came up, I should have listened to the Lord. Amazon, colored spoons. First thing pops up there is red. I said, I don't need no red spoons. Man, if I'd have just listened to the Lord, he was telling me, Wolfpack gonna do it, bro. Come on now. I'm holding a Duke spoon in my hand, y'all. Listen, you take that spoon, I'm serious. You take that spoon, you put it somewhere. You might need to drill a hole in it. You might need to just put it up on your dresser. You might need to put it in the bathroom where you shave or whatever. I don't know. Just put it somewhere. But put it in front of you at least for a few weeks to give a steady reminder, y'all, that God on this 17th day of March spoke a word to you, and he said, stir it up, stir it up. Listen, if we're going to accomplish what we need to accomplish in this community, some of y'all got to stir up some gifts. You do. I got a great team, man. You guys are incredible. The worship team, you guys are second to none. I love you. Yeah, here you go. We got a host of volunteers, kids pastors, youth pastor. I got a host of people in this church that just do so much. But can I just tell you something? We need more. We need more people to stir the gift. You know, Tamika came to me just a few weeks ago. And she said, Pastor, she said, God's calling me. I said, talk to me about it, Tamika. She said, I feel the call of God to be an evangelist. I said, Tamika, I said, listen, I said, be patient with me, work with me. Because every time you turn around, she's talking evangelism. You're talking about hitting the streets. And then God set her up with this young man right here. She was at the conference as well. And I thought, wow, look at you, God. You're giving somebody to come alongside her and blow the winds of blessing and opportunity over her life. I said, work with me and I'm going to help you. Well, she's a woman. So what? If God can't find a man to do it, guess what he'll do? He'll raise up women to be an evangelist. Yeah? Come on. So, Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I just speak blessing. I speak blessing, Lord. I speak provision. I speak anointing. I speak education. I speak all of the things, God, that you desire to deposit in Tamika today and every day, Lord. That she is stirring up the gift in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. You've got a future, Tamika. You got a future. God has plans for you, okay? You heard that today? God has plans for you. God has plans for you. God has plans for you. Some of y'all are sitting in this room with the call of God on your life, and you know what you are? You're a bowl of ingredients. You're a bowl of ingredients. And those ingredients will sit in that bowl for a long time until you say, okay, God, I hear you. And you grab the spoon of willingness. Oh, come on, y'all. And you start stirring. You start stirring. And when you begin to stir the spoon of willingness, God will meet you there. But I'm afraid. He covered that. Verse number 7. He covered it. Some of y'all have heard God speak to you before, that his call is on your life, and you're afraid. I was afraid too when God called me. I really was. But you don't have to fear. What you're called to do is stir it up. Stir it up. Could I call upon you, ministers of the gospel, those of you that are in the room, ministers and elders, pastors, could I just get you to come and stand here in front? Get you some oil in your hand. Pastor Joy, help us here if you would. Just stand right here. There you go. Come on, Pastor Mike. Amen. This weekend is a mark for you. You're going to mark this weekend down. Stretch out across here. Come on, stretch out all the way across. All the way that way, that way. All the way across. Because I'm going to send you some people here in a moment. Yeah, listen, you're not promising anything when you respond to this altar call. You're not promising, well, I'm going to go to school or I'm going to be an evangelist or whatever. Nobody's asking for that. And you may feel that. And if you do, just tell the person that's ministering to you. Just tell them, Pastor Mike, I feel like God's calling me to the ministry. I feel what Tamika's feeling. Okay? If you do, tell them that. Pastor Bernie, I just feel like there's something here that I need to be doing and I'm afraid. Just tell them. They already been through that. Okay? But I want you to come. Maybe you're just feeling like, yeah, I don't just want to be a bowl of ingredients. I want to be the finished product. Look at here. I don't want to be in a box. I don't want to stand before the Lord well dreamed, well thought. No, well done, good and faithful servant. You did it. Okay? Well done. So as we stand together and they begin to worship, you just step out of your seat. If you have to stand in line, don't worry. They'll get to you in just a moment. But I want you to come. I want you to come. God wants to help you today. Bring the spoon with you. Bring it in your hand as a sign. I'm going to stir up the gift, Pastor Wallace. I'm going to stir it up. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. God is speaking to your hearts. Don't miss this opportunity. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a farmer. I don't have this on my mind. God wants to use you in ways you never thought of. Stand to your feet if you would and come on. Let somebody pray for you and anoint you with oil. Let's stir it up. Come on. Touch your neighbor and say, stir it up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's stir it up this morning. Go ahead, worship team. Yeah. Come on, get in line. Don't miss it. Don't miss it.
Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
The Father.
Thank you, Lord. Some of you are afraid. Some of you are afraid. Some of you are scared. Don't forget, I put verse 7 in there. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. I'm scared of what it'll cost me. God knows that. He does.
Christ is risen.
Father, we bless you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for depositing into our hearing today the final words of a man to a spiritual son. Satan, stir it up. Lord, let us leave this place today with an accountability to you, Lord, that we're responsible to stir the gifts that you have deposited in us. And God, we'd be careful to thank you and praise you for all that you do. Go with your people this day in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord.